Hosea 14. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Our text is 4 through 6, but we'll begin in verse 1. Hosea says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, Take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. Asher, or Assyria, shall not save us. By the way, the world can't save you. I mean, that's what he's saying. They can't save us. The implication is we trust in the world so much, it cannot save us. You're lost in the world without God. Let's go on. We will not ride upon horses, meaning we're not going to be victors. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. By the way, that's what repentance looks like when you stop doing it your way. For in thee the fatherless find mercy. That's what it's all about, mercy. Amen. Verse 4, this is our text. I will heal their backsliding. That's a good start, isn't it? Amen. I mean, we could pause right there and just the whole rest of our night. And basically, we are just going to be talking about healing tonight. But you know who God just said he would heal? He just said he would heal the people who had gotten away from him and neglected him, and basically denied him over and over and over again. He says, I'll heal you. That is amazing to me. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew upon or unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. This is a great blessing. We're going to be talking about healing tonight. And the title is Trust God with the Healing. And what you should do, honestly, is you should write that down. Trust God with the healing. Because that title, all by itself, says it all. Trust God with the healing. And we're all going to need that. And some of us need it tonight. So let's pray. Father, we pray your blessings on this message. We ask for your power to be in the message and in the heart of your people as the word of God, your word, touches our hearts. God, from all the way from here to each and every person, I mean myself, behind the pulpit, and each and every person under the sound of this message, that you would touch hearts and help us to understand healing. And it might be tonight through faith that somebody would be healed tonight. And we know that you're able, capable, and as a matter of fact, the only one who can truly heal us. So I pray that we would learn to trust you in that. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. How many of you have done something to yourself and it really hurt? Like you hurt yourself. I mean, like really bad. You did that and you did it to yourself, right? Man, those are the worst, right? Sometimes we get hurt and we did not do it to ourselves. Somebody else did it to us. And they become our enemy in that moment, even if we love them, even if we're spending the rest of our life with them. And they dropped it on you, and you know, and it hurt really bad. So, you know, we're enemies for a little bit. When I played football, I told this story before, but it's a good one. So I made the varsity team, and I was a freshman, so I was kind of small compared to those other guys. But I loved it. I mean, I was shifty. I was fast. And in football, that's a good thing. But when you're small, that's a bad thing. So we were going against the varsity defense, and we were simulating the team we were going to be playing, the backups, which was me, were simulating the team that we were going to be playing that coming Friday. So we were running the offense of the team that we were about to play. And it was really working. So it was not, and the backups were beating our varsity team. So it was not, it's like, we're in big trouble this Friday. Maybe we should do this offense. I mean, this is working. Anyway, I was a slot receiver. And what they did is the quarterback hiked the ball and he just stepped back and he handed it off to the slot receiver, which was me. So he hiked the ball instead of going forward anybody who understands football, you know what I'm talking about. Instead of running forward to catch a pass or something, I went straight towards the quarterback and took the handoff and went straight up through the line, where the tackle and the guard split open a portion of the line. I went up through there, and then the guard on the other side jumped through, and he pushed the linebacker out of the way. So, I mean, we were open. It was like a Mack truck. You could drive it through there. I just ran up in there. I was like, oh, this is great. And so they pushed those guys out of the way, and then I saw the linebacker coming at me, but then the guard just, I mean, laid him out. It was awesome. So, and nobody's touched me yet. I run past the offensive line. I run past the linebackers. I'm in the secondary now. I mean, I'm almost home free. Touchdown. You know what I mean? There's this one guy left, the free safety. The problem was he was a senior and I'm a freshman. And I was feeling pretty awesome at that point, you know. So I tried, and I was shifty and quick, so I thought I would do a spin move on him. The problem was he grabbed me right at my hips, at my waistline, and just put all his weight on me while I was spinning. So my whole body was spinning, but my right foot was planted in the grass. So everything spun around except my foot. And then I heard one pop, and then I heard two more pops. So that's a three, you know, for you math people, right? That's three pops. The third one really was the bad one. You know, pop, pop, maybe we can recover from that. Pop number three, nope. You're laying on the ground and you're, you know, holding onto your face mask and you are yelling because it hurt. You wonder if your foot's still in the ground and you're laying down. You know, that's how bad it was. And I'm yelling so loud, everybody runs over and it's just like this huge huddle around me, and the coach comes in, he splits everybody apart. And then he thought it would be hilarious to say this: oh man, I can see your bone. You couldn't see my bone. But it got to me. I'm like, what, you know? And then everybody started laughing. And then they just went back to playing. They just left me there. That's what happens when you're a freshman. And I can't walk. It hurts so bad. So I'm like army crawling off the field. Literally, they left me there and continued to play. So anyway, yeah, that was painful. Let me tell you one more. I worked with a guy putting air conditioners in that was big. I mean, he was strong. He needed a shirt, though, that said, I can lift heavy things, but I'm not too smart. He needed that shirt. You know what I mean? Because we had this pack unit. You know what I'm talking about. Pack units are big. Like a couple, 200-300 pounds. And we're pushing this thing. And maybe this is my fault, but I'm on the front side of it, and he's the guy in the back pushing. Maybe he forgot that I was up there. I wasn't ready. He pushed it. It just ran straight over my foot. Okay? You ready for this? It took my big toe, the nail on my big toe, not the big toe, Miss Jackie, it's okay. But the toenail, watch. No, Miss Jackie, you got to see this. The toenail went like this. That's what that pack unit did. Do you know what I was doing? I was like, glory to his name. No, I wasn't doing that. It was painful. I mean, it hurt. And we all have stories like that, right? Where something happened. It wasn't you. Somebody else did it. And you're like, man, you're the worst. I mean, really? That was painful. And we have things that physically hurt us. But that's not the kind of healing, the pain that Israel is experiencing here. A healing that is associated to a physical pain. This is a spiritual pain. This is an emotional, a kind of pain in the heart, a pain of the soul. And you know, although we have things that happen to us, and I have a few other stories that I could tell about some of you, of some recent things that I know about, but we won't go there. Although we have those times when we physically hurt ourselves or things happen and we get hurt, this is not the kind of pain that Israel is experiencing. It's anguish of the soul. It's a hurting on the inside of the heart. And Israel had, what had happened, watch, they had gotten away from God. They had decided what they would do is to seek and look for, you know, answers in this world and for their nation by aligning themselves with other nations and becoming, associated with the gods and worshiping those gods of the nations around them. And what they did in that is they went away from the Lord. They went away from God. And because of that, judgment came on them. And judgment was continuing to come on them. And so what that means is they were wounded. This was a wound in the spirit. This was a wound in the soul. And we can relate to that. Why? Because we have wounds in the soul. We get away from God. We seek things in our own way, and we don't associate ourselves with the Lord and the work of the Holy Spirit in us, trying to guide us in the way that the Lord would have us to go, but we try to find answers in other ways. And it brings judgment into our life, and then there's anguish of our soul. And it's not a, it can cause physical, pain in our life, but we're talking about anguish of the soul. We're talking about a hurt that's in us, a hurt of the heart. Israel would need a healing that only God could give them. And that's really the point of this. God would be the one who would bring that healing to them. He would be the only one that would be the resource that could heal them. And that should touch us too. Because what ends up happening in life when we have the hurts that we experience of our soul, we start looking for answers other than from the Lord. We start going to resources other than the only one who can truly heal us. And fix the issues that we're having in our heart. Israel would need this. God had told them, look what it says in verse number 4, I will heal their backsliding. Now that is a powerful statement from God, where he says, I will heal them. Now it's not because they deserved it. By the way, it says that they were backsliding. We've talked about this over and over and over again as we've went through the book of Hosea. Israel backslidden, going to the nations of the world, seeking a kind of satisfaction from the gods of this world, trying to find answers outside of God and aligning themselves with things other than God and turning from God. You know why that should touch you and me? Because that's what we do. And we do it so easily so that we become vulnerable because we're not reading the scripture like we should. We become vulnerable because we're not praying like we should. We become vulnerable because we're not in church like we should be. And so we start to deal with the things that are happening in our life outside of the leadership of the Lord. This is what Israel is doing. They're aligning themselves with philosophies that are not coming from God. And it's bringing wounds to them. Their backsliding is bringing wounds to them. They're getting away from God, and now they're needing healing. That's what healing implies. They've been wounded. Wounded because of the judgment from God that's coming towards them. Now, look what it says in verse number 1. This is amazing. He says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. And so this is God calling them to repentance, and this is the chance for them to turn their heart back to the Lord, and this is where the healing would come from. Now, here's what I want you to think with me about. Look what it says next, by the way, in verse number 4. It says, I will love them freely. I want to talk about that, but I want to come down here, because what ends up happening is God wants to do a work in the nation of Israel to bring healing to them. And he had already told them that if there would be repentance, then there would be healing. But here's what I think sometimes happens to you and me, and possibly with Israel, which is why it says the word freely there, is that we somehow think that if we repent, that we deserve God's mercy in our life. Repentance brings mercy, but it repentance doesn't mean we deserve mercy. We need to understand that. And I'm glad that we're here tonight, and I'm glad that we have the chance to hear from God, because we need it. And there's not anybody here that doesn't need it. We all need it. And God speaks to us, and that's mercy all by itself, that he would convict us. And even if there was no mercy from the Lord as by way of the consequences of our backsliding, if we continued to be wounded and experience those wounds, we would have nothing to complain about because we deserve it. And so it would be enough mercy just to hear the message and be convicted to change our way to end the backsliding and go back to the Lord. I mean, that would be enough mercy. But God says, no. I'm going to be merciful to you in a way that will be a demonstration of my unconditional love. That's amazing. That's what the word freely means. This is God saying, I'm not obligated to show mercy to you. That's what he's saying. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad you're willing to repent. And this is going to keep you from experiencing some of the consequences and the judgments that you could if you didn't repent. But what I want you to understand is I want you to experience my love. And I'm doing it not because of you, but because of me. That's what God's saying. This is an unconditional love. This is an unconditional mercy that God wants to give us. It reminds me of the beginning part of the book of Hosea when God told Hosea to go back and bring Gomer back. Remember earlier on in the book of Hosea when Gomer had went away and had become a harlot? And then God said, I want you to go and bring her back. That's a picture of what God is saying here. There's no obligation that this would need to happen. This is unconditional love. This isn't you deserving it. This is God's choice to say, I want to show mercy to you. I want to bring you back. This is the love of the Lord. This is amazing to me. Like for God to want to restore, but unconditionally. Look what it says next, verse number 4. He says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. And then he said this, for mine anger is turned away from him. Mine anger is turned away from him. What is he saying there? What he's saying is, not only is his love unconditional in that he wants to restore us, and it's not going to be because of our choice to repent that makes God obligated to restore us, but because of his love. But then he said, when the restoration takes place, he says, mine anger is turned away from him. That means that God, in the restoration process, is determined to put us back into fellowship with him. And he's explaining here that what this is deeply personal. He's saying there's no reservation. When you become right with me, you're going to be back in fellowship with me, and there's no reservation with the Lord. There's no coldness with the Lord. There's no distance with the Lord. There's no restriction in access to the Lord. But the fellowship is restored. Verse number 5, look what it says. He says, I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. And then in verse number 6, he says, his branches shall spread and his beauty shall be as the olive tree and his smell as Lebanon. So he says Lebanon here several times. And this is a picture of fertility. It's a picture of God's blessings coming back on the nation of Israel. Like the hand of God back on the nation of Israel. That there would be growth and there would be fruitfulness. And that's the picture there. I love what he says in the first part of verse number 5, though. He says, I will be as the dew unto Israel. So the dew is to say this is where the source of that nourishment is going to come from. Dew is moisture. Dew represents life. It brings life. It brings moisture. It brings life. It brings healing and it brings growth. And so God says, I will be the dew. I will be what causes you to have health. I will be what causes you to grow. It'll come from me. I think the way one commentator said it actually is the best way to kind of see when he says do here what he's saying. Dew doesn't come from clouds. Whenever you just see the dew, here's what one commentator concluded about what is being said here. That dew comes from nothing. And we know it comes from the atmosphere, and we understand the scientific side of it. But it's not like rain that's coming from clouds. It's just coming from nothing. And so what Hosea is saying here is that you can be healed, but you're not going to be able to heal yourself. Like, you've been backsliding, and there's judgment, and now you're wounded. And there might be some of us tonight that are wounded in this sense. I mean, there's hurt that's in us. There's hurt in our soul. And that hurt is there because we've backslidden. We've gotten away from the things of the Lord. And it brings that anguish to our soul. He says here, I will heal you. He says, I'll do this not because of you, but because of my unconditional love for you. And by the way, when you're restored, You're going to have unrestricted access to me. We're going to be back in fellowship. It's not going to be weird. You know how sometimes when there's been friction and you make things right, I mean, it's still kind of weird. You're like, oh, it's like you want to be right with somebody and make things so you do all the things you need to do to make things right. But then when you get around them, there's still sort of a cloud there. God says, that's not going to be the case with me. Like, yes, you've gone away from me. Yes, you've backslidden. And let's not pretend that's not the reason why judgment is in your life. And now, because of what God is speaking to you about and you're allowing your heart to be broken, you can be restored. You can come and you can repent and you can return to the Lord. You can get right with Him. And He says, if you do that, I will heal you. Amen. That's what He's saying. And by the way, I'm not going to heal you because of you. I'm going to heal you because of my love for you. It's unconditional. I'm not obligated to heal you, but I will heal you. And when you're healed, when our relationship is healed, it's not going to be weird. I mean, you're going to be able to come to me with unrestricted access. You're going to come to me as your God and you're my people with boldness. I like how Paul said it in Hebrews. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Well, who deserves to be able to do that? Nobody in this room. But yet he says it because of Jesus, that we have access to the Father. Ephesians talks about this too. Instant access. Because of Jesus, you can come straight to the throne room of God. Look at the Old Testament. If the high priest went into the throne room of God, if he went into where the tabernacle, into the tabernacle in the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, representing the presence of God, he would be dead on the spot. But yet God says to us, because of Jesus, we have instant access to the Father. What does that mean? It means that when you repent and you turn your heart back to God and you seek Him for that healing, He says He will heal you. Amen. He'll bring healing to you.
Amen.
And He'll heal you in a way the world cannot heal you. He'll heal you in a way that only He can do it, like the dew. Because the dew is the healing salve that brings life and restoration. That's the imagery. And watch this. It comes from nothing. What do you mean nothing? It doesn't come from Assyria. They'd been trusting in Assyria. And we found out here just a few verses before that Assyria is not going to help them. There's no victory there. They won't be riding on horses, meaning there's no victory in Assyria. You're not going to find it in the world. You're not going to find it in yourself either. Well, I'm just going to pull myself up on our bootstraps, and we're just going to grind it out. No, you won't. You won't make it.
Amen.
There's not enough strength in you.
That's right.
The health and the healing that you need, it can only come from God.
Amen.
He's the dew.
Right.
He's the dew. But yet we live in a world, and amongst a people that are Christians, a world, by the way, a world out there that doesn't know God, and this is the only way they know how to deal with healing, because let's not pretend that everybody doesn't have anguish of soul.
Right.
All of us do, because we're humans, and we fail, and there are consequences of there's judgment and consequences of our actions. And so there's healing that needs to be there, because we're wounded in our spirit. In the world, they have their way. And it's the only way the world knows.
Right.
It's not with the Lord, though. And you know what? They'll never find it in the world. They'll never find it out there. Here's what happens. People have problems. They have hurt. And let me have your attention, because you either are dealing with some hurt right now in your heart, or you're going to be. Here's how people deal with the hurt that we feel in our heart. Number one, they run away from it. They try. I'm feeling hurt. Well, why are you hurt? Well, it's this person. So what are we going to do? I'm going to run away from it. And we have marriages that people feel the answer is to split up and run away from the hurt. And that's how we're dealing with it. And that's the philosophy of the world. That's the only way. It's one way the world deals with the hurt. It's to run away from it. Well, that's how Christians sometimes deal with hurt. We're not just talking about with marriage. We're talking about the hurt that we feel in our soul. And the best way to deal with it is just to get away. Sometimes it happens in church. where we're feeling hurt by somebody else in the church or maybe even the pastor. And, you know, that hurt, instead of, you know, asking God to help us in the healing process, trusting Him with that, because He's the only one who can actually bring health, right? We feel that the answer is to run away. And so sometimes people leave Western Hills Baptist Church, but not because God wants them to. No, listen, I don't want to keep somebody at Western Hills when God is leading them away. You go where God wants you to go. But I want you to know this. I also believe that this is true, that sometimes people are feeling hurt in their soul, and the way they're dealing with that hurt is not seeking healing from God, but is to run away. And so what ends up happening is people are running from here to there thinking they're going to find health, but they won't find it there. You know what you'll find? That the hurt kind of went with you, and then you'll find more hurt at the next place you go to. And now you've established a habit of a way of dealing with the hurt that you're feeling. And that is to run away from it. And so now we're running from here to here and from here to here and from there to there. And people are running all over the world dealing with the anguish of their soul when God is the only one who can heal them. If that's you tonight, we need to stop doing that. Stop running away from the hurt, thinking that if you run away from it, you're going to be healed somehow. It doesn't work. It's the way the world deals with it. Here's what God says. I will heal you. You plainly said it. You've backslidden. You've gone away from me. You're wounded. And the wounds aren't like some dude on the other side ran over your foot with a big air conditioner and now your toenail's sticking up. I mean, that hurts. But that's not the kind of hurt we're talking about. We're talking about a hurt that's in here. And all of us have it. And it doesn't matter who it is against or who it is with. God can bring health. And He's the only one who can truly heal you. So we got to stop running away. Got to stop running away. You know what some people do to deal with the hurt that they feel in their soul? They try to drown it out. They don't run away. They just drown it out. You know, like, well, if I know the hurt is there, but instead of, seeking the Lord for healing, what I'll do is I'll just sort of overpower it by drowning it out with something else. There was a lady I told a story about. This would have been, several weeks ago, about Stacy, who I think it was a Christmas Day or Christmas Eve service, and I preached. It was just a simple Christmas message. And Stacy walked up onto the platform. Remember I said that? And I didn't see her come up there, or I probably would have caught her before she got up on the platform. But anyway, so I'm there, and I'm just focused on my stuff there, and next thing I know, she's standing there right beside me, like looking at me. And I'm behind the pulpit, and she's just right there beside me. And when I saw her, it scared me. Oh, man. I think I maybe even said that. And Stacy, and she wanted to be saved. And I was proud of her for that. We went to the altar and she got saved right there. And God transformed her life. But her husband's very abusive and very difficult home situation. And the way she had dealt with that is by going to liquor. I mean, that's how she dealt with it. She was an alcoholic. She drank. And that's how she dealt with the problems that she had with her family, specifically with her husband, who was angry, very angry, and violent. Not that he was beating her, but he was very angry and very violent kind of person. And it's not just that her husband, who was an alcoholic too, but she was dealing with the hurt of her soul with alcohol. Here's what she's trying to do. Watch. She's trying to drown away the hurt that she feels. But guess what? It doesn't work. Because whenever you become sober again, you'll find out that the hurt is there and it's multiplied. It's more.
Right.
And it continues to become more and more hurtful because you're bringing more and more judgment and wounds on yourself. It's not just there's the drowning away of liquor, which is destroying many lives, by the way. Like countless lives. And we could talk about that for the rest of this sermon, but it's not about that. But people are drowning it away, trying to drown away the hurt that you feel in your soul with various other things. I mean, listen, there is a proper place for entertainment. I mean, there's a proper context for it. I mean, there's some entertainment that's available in this world that no Christian should ever watch or see or be involved with. But there's an appropriate context for certain kinds of entertainment. I think we all understand that. But what people sometimes do, watch, what people sometimes do is they drown themselves with things like video games and movies and music and TV and this kind of stuff. I'm talking about entertainment. Not to be entertained, but to drown away the hurt that they're feeling in their soul. And what ends up happening, instead of allowing God or asking God or seeking God for a healing that only He can give you, you'll try to find health in imagining yourself in some other reality. Well, this life that I live in this world, it stinks. That's why I like living in that world. But you know what ends up happening? You'll come out of that world and it's worse. Because it doesn't heal you. As a matter of fact, it makes it worse, just like liquor, because it brings another set of judgments on you that bring more wounds. So we have to stop trying to drown out the anguish that we feel. If you deal with a stressful day at work by going home and trying to drown whatever it is that you're associating, it could be scrolling. You know that there's a philosophical reason why the scrolling never ends. No matter what social media you use, you can scroll endlessly for the eternity, the end of time. There's a reason for that. You know, there's a psychological thing connected to that. And if you go home and you try to drown away the anguish of your soul or whatever it is that you're dealing with in your life or at work or whatever, in relationships, by scrolling, whenever you stop scrolling, eventually, hours later, you're going to find that you're not any better. But it's only going to make things worse. We have to stop looking for healing by drowning it away. That's the way the world does it.
Amen.
And it doesn't work. It can't work because God is the only one who can heal you. Let me give you one more. Sometimes people deal with the hurt of their soul by trying to ignore it, by trying to pretend like it's not even there. You know, a lot of moms do this. Just not that moms are the only ones who do this, but to deal with the hurt that you feel is just to act like it's not there at all. And because if we pretend and act like it's not there, then it just won't be there. But it is, isn't it? Just ignoring it and acting like the hurt that you feel in your soul isn't really there, it doesn't make it go away. It kind of festers, doesn't it? Until you have a nervous breakdown. And all that anguish you have in your soul makes its way on the outside through some extreme way because you keep trying to suppress it and push it away and ignore it and act like it's not there. But you're going to explode. You're like a ticking time bomb. There's going to be a nuclear explosion, and right at the middle of it is you. God wants to heal you.
Amen.
He's the only one who can heal you.
Amen.
You'll find no healing in any of these other ways, resources. And you can try to run away from it. It just follows you. It'll be there waiting for you at the next place you're at, along with some other things you're going to have to probably try to run away from. You can try to drown it away, but when you come out of your daze, it's going to still be there. You can ignore it, but it's going to make you explode. Here's what God says. I want to heal you. As a matter of fact, I love how he said it. Isn't this metaphor just so powerful? He says, I want to be a dew for you. Like the dew. When you wake up and there's dew, it's just nourishing all of the vegetation. And you look up in the sky and you're like, there's no clouds. Where did this moisture come from? The imagery is to say this. It came from God. No other resource. God says, I want to be do for you. I want to heal you. And so the implication there is you'll find it nowhere else. It has to come from God.
Amen.
And so what do we need? We need faith. We need faith in God. We need faith that He can bring that healing to our soul. We need to trust Him and say, Lord, tonight I've been trying to find healing in all these other ways, and I know that it doesn't work. But I just keep, it's like an addiction where I'm trying to find healing in my soul. And the way I deal with my problems, it never really works. You know, I just kind of keep grinding it out. But it's never really bringing healing to me. And God says, well, why don't you come to me? Why don't you trust me? Why don't you let me be due for you? I can bring healing to you. That's that unconditional love, right? It's like, I don't deserve this, you know. It's like a mom. Moms, have you ever told your kids, don't do that. And then they did, and they hurt themselves. Because they did not do what you said.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I mean, there's a little bit of laughing going on because we know what we're talking about, right? I'm talking about mom who said, don't do that, you're going to hurt yourself. And then they did it anyway, and then boom, here they are hurt. And guess who they come back to after they hurt themselves? They don't go to dad. I promise you they don't go to dad. They're not coming to me. And I'm like, rub some salt on it. I'm like, I don't mean, are you bleeding? Even if you are bleeding, I mean, how bad is it, you know? I mean, I was not a good PE teacher, okay? So, because I had no compassion, especially when I was younger. So, younger, like in college. But anyway, the kid broke his arm in PE. And I didn't know his arm was broke. And I was like, man, just quit being a wimp. His arm was broken. You know, it was like legitimately broken. And I was like trying to tell him he was green a crybaby or something, you know? Not a lot of compassion there in dads, usually. But with mom, I know I told you, but you're going to be compassionate, aren't you? Here's what God says. I know that you did this to yourself, but yet I love you anyway. And I know that I told you not to do this, and you did it anyway, and you broke your arm. You hurt yourself. You're wounded, but I'll heal you. Did you get that? You didn't deserve it. You did it to yourself, and God even told you not to. And then you come to him, and he says, I'll heal you. But you know what you have to do? This is where it ends. We're right here. We're at it done. But I need you to get this. You have to stop trying to do it your way. You have to stop trying to go to the world. You have to stop trying to run away from it. Stop running away from it. It's never going to work. You have to stop trying to drown it out. There's some things maybe in our fridge we need to go home and get it out of our fridge. Some of us. There's some of us, we have some things in our phone and some tactics. Listen to me. Some tactics that we use to deal with that hurt that we have. You need to delete it. You need to stop. You got to stop trying to drown it out. We got to stop ignoring it and pretending like it's not there. So what do we do, Pastor? What do we do? Remember that God's the do. He can heal you. And he calls you to himself. You need to come to the altar. And you need to say to the Lord, I've been trying to find healing in other sources than you, and I don't want to do it anymore. Will you, Father, will you be do in my life? Will you heal me in my soul? Will you bring a miracle? Because it feels like nothing's working. And nothing will ever work. But Lord, I know that if I trust you and I seek you tonight, that you can heal me. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to humble yourself and come and ask the Lord to heal you? To trust him with the healing. That's the title. Trust God with the healing. He's compassionate. He's not going to turn you away. Even though he warned you and you did it to yourself. He says, okay, honey, come here. I got a Band-Aid for you. All right, I got some healing. I got some Bactine. Shh, we're going to get you fixed up.